You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Lord God, we ask not that you forget about us, but that you forgive us. We are not what we ought to be, and we have no excuse. In your mercy, forgive us, and give us faith to accept your forgiveness. In your forgiveness, give us the joy of living, that for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, we may forgive others as you have forgiven us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Bible is always talking about forgiveness. God forgives people, and people forgive one another. In ordinary life, you seldom hear anyone talk about forgiveness. If they do talk about forgiveness, very often you get the impression that people think of forgiveness as a sign of weakness, as something you do in a desperate moment when there's nothing else to be done. If someone says, "I forgave him," it's almost a confession of failure. Religious people do talk about forgiveness, of course. Even there, you get the feeling once in a while when someone says, "I forgive you," that concealed in the silken glove, there is a hand with brass knuckles ready to pop you when the time is ripe. Probably there's nothing in ordinary life so necessary, so indispensable, so practically good as genuine forgiveness. It brings people together again and keeps them together. It keeps families from falling apart, and it makes family life new and fresh again. Because of forgiveness, people are alive today who would otherwise be dead. Because of forgiveness, lives are livable today which would otherwise be unbearable. With all of the wrongs in modern life, how is it possible for anyone to live, really to live, without forgiveness? Impossible as it is to live without forgiveness, people all over the world are trying hard to make it seem possible. They never succeed, of course, but they keep on trying. That's why our Lord included in his own prayer, the one he gave his disciples to pray, this petition as recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew: "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." He must have used that prayer often. St. Luke has him saying, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." There have been all kinds of translations of this petition of our Lord's Prayer. An English version, older than the King James Version of the Bible, has him saying, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Another one says, "Forgive us the wrongs we have done as we forgive the wrongs of others to us." Still another has him saying, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Whatever the English words that are used to translate the original text, they all convey what our Lord meant. We all need to be forgiven, and we all need to forgive. We all need to be forgiven. Right away, that puts everyone on the spot. Not only do atheists need to be forgiven, but so do people who believe in God. Not only do religious people need to be forgiven, but so do people who have never set foot in a church. Some people resent being told that, but that's the way it is. That's why the Lord told us to pray this way: "Forgive us our sins as we forgive people who sin against us." We all know that there are sinners around. We read about them in the newspapers, and we hear about them in the news broadcasts. They surely need forgiveness, those people do, if there is forgiveness for people like that. But we don't need forgiveness in the same way, do we? We have not done the same things those people did. At least we did not get our names in the newspapers. Well, maybe we could have if a reporter had been around at just the right time. But anyway, we didn't, and that's something to be thankful for. We all know that there are people who need forgiveness much more than we do. If not more forgiveness, they need to be forgiven oftener than we do. Whatever the reason, we do not need to be forgiven as much as other people do. The Lord knew all about those feelings of ours. That's why he told us to pray, "Forgive us our sins, our trespasses, our debits, our wrongs." Anybody who asks for forgiveness admits that he has been wrong. That's what people really resent. They don't like to be told that they've been wrong. They don't like to admit that they have been wrong. They just can't bring themselves to say, "You were right and I was wrong." That's a sign of weakness, not in keeping with our human dignity, and therefore inadmissible. The fact of the matter is that it is indispensable. Without the recognition that you are capable of wrong, and without the open admission that you have done wrong, you are not altogether human. To that extent, you have become inhuman. Self-righteous people, no matter how pious they may be, or how secular, without any thought of God at all, are the most inhuman people in the whole world. They hold other people to a standard which they have no intention of observing themselves. They're critical of other people, but completely uncritical of themselves. They're like the pot calling the kettle black, and the drunken man who thinks the other fellow is drunk. The Bible is very kind to us. It does not go along with those illusions we have about ourselves, which do not save us, but destroy us. The Bible calls a spade a shovel. It recognizes us for what we are and proclaims God as he is. It spells out what sin is and robs us of our illusions. It also tells us how a just God feels toward sinners, the ones who wrong themselves and others all the time, going their own way without a thought for God. Without God, of course, there wouldn't be any sin. We could all live just as we please, each one doing his own thing, without thought of judgment or retribution. We could do that if there were no God. But we can't and we won't, because there is a God. We all know that, and we all feel it. That's the reason for the massive sense of guilt that hangs over the world like a threatening cloud. It hangs over the lives of people, making them bitter, unforgiving, incapable of love, and suspicious of everyone. What our world needs, and each one of us needs, is to hear what the Bible tells us about God. Believe it or not, the news about God is good. He has every right to pass judgment upon every one of us and to pile it on. But there is good news. The God who judges the world forgives our sins. He forgives you. And he forgives me. He does that for the sake of one who came at his command to do what his Father wanted him to do. That one is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. In him, God shows his hand once and for all. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. That's why the apostles proclaimed Christ, the Savior. Not some new kind of religion by which people could save themselves. They were always telling people about Christ. Christ died for our sins. And because of Christ, God forgives. Christ's men did not try to explain how God could do this. They just knew that Christ died for our sins and that he was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, who forgives our sins for the sake of that great Son of his. The apostles told the story far and wide. People accepted it as the good news that it really is. They believed the good news in Christ, and they rejoiced in the forgiveness of God, whom they could now call Father, just as Jesus Christ himself did. It's in forgiveness, out of forgiveness, and with forgiveness that Christ's people pray. Our Father who art in heaven, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. You notice a new spirit in that prayer. It's not the spirit of the world, which sometimes acts like a 3-year-old boy who has just disobeyed his father. The 3-year-old could just as well be saying to his father, "You are really dumb. I, in my short life, have learned more than you. I won't do what you tell me to do." Our lives here on earth are like the mist that the wind blows away. Yet we tell him for whom 1,000 ages are like an evening gone, "We know better than you. You're wrong. We are right. We will not obey your will. What we say is, forgive us as we forgive. There's no particular piety in this prayer, just reality. This is life, a new spirit, which is obedience to God. It comes from his forgiveness, producing a new thing, a readiness to forgive. There's nothing more typical of a true follower of Christ than the readiness to forgive. It's the one big plus that faith in Christ brings into an ordinary life to make it extraordinary. It's love in action. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The worst sin you can commit against God is to refuse to admit that you have ever done anything wrong against him. The greatest thing you will ever say to God is, forgive me. The greatest thing you will ever do in your lifetime is to forgive someone who has wronged you. The only way you can do that is to have faith in Christ that he makes everything right. He puts you right with God and puts you right with everyone around you. He has the power to do that because he is Lord. It takes faith in him to believe that and faith in him to do it, to forgive as you have been forgiven. The Lord Jesus did not teach us to pray, God, I'm only human. I can't help it. I didn't mean it. I did the best I could. In case I have done anything wrong, forgive me. That's not the Lord's prayer. His prayer for us to pray is, Holy God, forgive me, as I, with faith and love toward you, forgive others who put themselves in my debt because they have wronged me. When God forgives you, the Bible says, he really forgives. He does not hold your sin against you. What he actually says is, my son died for you, and now I want you to live. You are completely reconciled. Your sins are forgiven. That's what God says to you. And he gives you a wonderful prescription for living with faith in him. You go ahead now and do that in your own personal relationships, in your family, in your community. You forgive, and you will find out how wonderful it is to live with faith in my forgiveness. Forgiveness is a sign of strength, not of weakness. Forgiveness really works. A former United States senator tells how he went into the office of a fellow senator whom he had hated for 15 years. That feeling was reciprocated in full. The senator said, I had carried this resentment around with me, and it had torn me up. I realized this was foolish. I went to his office to see him. He cursed me and told me he had despised me for 15 years, too. I told him it would be a one-way hatred from now on, and I left. He met me at the elevator, and we forgave each other. And we've been friends ever since. It's hard enough to forgive a single injury which has brought on a long resentment like that. But it is just as hard, if not harder, to forgive the continual irritations and aggravations in day-to-day life. To keep on forgiving a bossy mother-in-law, a bullying husband, a nagging wife, a selfish daughter, a lying son, or a contemptuous neighbor. How can you do that? With faith in Christ. That's how. As Christ said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamore tree, be plucked up by the roots and be planted in the midst of the sea, and it would obey you. He was talking at that time about lifting a grudge out of the human heart. That's what he said when he said that. It happens by faith, or it doesn't happen at all. John said with complete confidence in Christ, his beloved Lord, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When God says it, believe it. It's true. Not because you believe it, but because he is true. Christ died and Christ is Lord. God means it. You are forgiven. Christ died for you, and he is Lord. Believe it. You are forgiven. Now, one action will thoroughly change everything for you and for everyone around you. Forgive. You yourself forgive as you've been forgiven by the grace and goodness of God for the sake of his unselfish and life-giving Son, Jesus Christ. As you have been forgiven, forgive with the grace and goodness of God, which cleanses the lives of others as yours is cleansed by his forgiveness. For once, pray from the heart this prayer as it was meant to be prayed, looking for power from on high to do what you pray for. Forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of those who sin against us. By his power, my friend, go ahead and do it. Amen.